Tonight, AEW did something that they rarely do. We don't usually see this on AEW programming. They opened with a 20-minute promo segment. Usually they open with a match or something short. 20-minute promo segment to open up Dynamite tonight. But when you have two of the best talkers in the entire business, what you end up with is magic. You know, Kevin Nash was in a movie a number of years ago called Magic Mike. And tonight we got the sequel with CM Punk and MJF in Chicago in one of the hottest segments in Dynamite history. It is Thanksgiving Eve, everybody, and this is your AEW Dynamite review for November 24th, 2021. I am the Sala Monster. You know, when CM Punk came to AEW, a lot of people had their own little personal list of who they wanted to see Punk get in the ring with, all the new faces, all the new opponents and young stars that he could get in the ring with. You know, where's the fun in wanting to see Punk one-on-one against Jericho or Moxley? Yeah, we'll see that eventually, but, you know, in a lot of cases, we've already seen that. And MJF would have been at the top of almost everybody's list. And not just because they thought it would be a good match, but because they thought that they would match up really well on the microphone. MJF, in case you didn't know, is a really good promo. And he's a heel who knows how to get heat. You don't see too many of those in wrestling these days. CM Punk, the question is, you know, can he still be the CM Punk that everybody remembers him be? And I think he's shown flashes of that on the microphone, although we really still haven't seen the best of him, I think, on the mic since he came back. Last week, we got our first tease of a possible feud between CM Punk and MJF. And I was very excited. I didn't think that they would go to it this quickly. I didn't know how they were going to follow up this week. We got our answer in the opening segment. MJF went out there. He went toe-to-toe with CM Punk. And I have to imagine that as CM Punk was standing there watching and listening to everything that MJF had to say, he saw a reflection of himself, his younger self, in MJF. And he had to just look at this kid and go, this kid is fucking great. And he also had to be thinking, I'm going to have a lot of fun working off this guy and playing off this guy in the weeks ahead. And as fun as it probably was for him in the ring, it's going to be fun for all of us because we get to go along for the ride, and I am very excited about it. I cannot say enough good things about that opening segment here tonight. One of the best segments in Dynamite history, building up to a match that I would imagine there is going to be a lot of anticipation for. Tonight was, overall, I thought, a very fun episode of Dynamite. The main event was wild. And boy, did they love Cody in Chicago, huh? How about that reaction? Cody got a great reaction in Chicago. They love him. They loved Cody. They loved Cody so much, they took his weightlifting belt and they threw it back at him, which actually was very dangerous. It's very different than throwing a t-shirt or something like that. But thankfully, nobody was hurt. But up and down this card tonight, slowly building certain programs, building new stories. Obviously, Bryan Danielson going to be challenging Hangman Page for the championship very soon. We saw a continuation of that feud as it builds to what I assume is going to be Battle of the Belts. We have confirmation tonight that Battle of the Belts is going to be taking place on January 8th. It will be live on TNT. It will not be taped. And so I assume, yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's got to either be the very first Dynamite on TBS or Battle of the Belts. But that's coming up very soon. We had an excellent women's match tonight in the TBS title tournament that I will talk about a little bit later. A lot of good stuff to get into here. I hope everybody is having a great Thanksgiving Eve. Of course, tomorrow is Turkey Day for those of us here in the States. And I hope you are getting ready for a big feast. I know I am. So, we start off with the best part of the entire show. And that's not to say that the rest of the show was garbage, because there was a lot on the show to like. But we started out with the strongest segment of the night. And as I said at the beginning, I think one of the best segments in Dynamite history. It's not very often that you get two people in the ring together who on the microphone can really go toe-to-toe and keep the audience engaged the way that these two people are able to do it. Punk, we know his credentials. MJF, every single time we see him out there, is putting together a resume that is going to, I think, stand out and make him one of the biggest stars in the business. And so Punk working with him, I mean, this is his biggest opponent to date. This is his biggest profile feud since coming to AEW. And I would not be in any rush to put these two in the ring. I think if we have several more weeks, if not a couple more months, frankly, of segments like this, this to me is what is going to make this so much fun. We got a big taste of it here on this show. Punk came out because he was scheduled tonight for a match against QT Marshall. Yeah, I know. But as Punk was making his entrance, he was interrupted by MJF. MJF came down to the ring and he said, "It doesn't feel too good to be interrupted now, does it? Punky Brewster. It doesn't feel too good." Punky Brewster, another show I used to watch back in the day. He said Punk hurt his feelings last week. It was almost as bad as the time that he quit. And he ran home for 7 years, like a little bitch. He brought up the pipe bomb promo from 10 years ago. Can you believe it's been 10 years since the pipe bomb promo in Vegas on Monday Night Raw? And by the way, before I even go on here, because I've already seen people talking about the pipe bomb and, you know, is this better than the pipe bomb? I even hate using that term because it's so played out at this point, but I'll use pipe bomb for the sake of reference. That was a very influential promo in that people still remember it all these years later. And it meant a lot, not to really anybody else in WWE. It meant a lot to CM Punk because at the time, he was a guy who went from 1 foot out the door. He was leaving. He was leaving the company. His contract was coming due. He was leaving the company. He was not happy with the way that he had been used. He sat down on that stage. He cut the promo that he did, and it caught fire in a way that I don't think anybody expected it to. And it opened up a lot of eyes in that company, including the eyes of Vince McMahon. And less than a month later, he was the WWE champion. And it set off this whole summer. Summer of Punk, part two. And eventually led to him being the champion for 434 days in the whole nine yards. And he really became, you know, he had his greatest success at that point, that next two-year period in WWE, two- or three-year period. So when I think of the pipe bomb, I think of the effect it had on CM Punk's career. And it elevated him in that company from, all right, you know, he's like a mid-card, upper mid-card, kind of popular guy on the roster, to being a main event headliner in a major promotion. Was this better than the pipe bomb? It's a totally different promo. It's a totally different segment. That was one person venting. These were two people who were masters at their craft, going back and forth, jousting back and forth for a longer period of time. This was a longer segment. This went 20 minutes, 21 minutes. So I don't want to make any comparisons. I'm not here to say what was better or not. What I'm saying is, as far as promo segments go, this is about as good as it gets in AEW. I don't know if 10 years from now people are going to be talking about this the way they talk about the pipe bomb. But years from now, people will be talking about this first real face-to-face in the ring between CM Punk and MJF. So I just wanted to, before we go any further, I just wanted to mention that because I already saw people making comparisons. But MJF called Punk, said he looks like a meth addict. For a guy who's straight edge, he walks around looking like a meth addict. And he would have to drink 8 shots of whiskey to look himself in the mirror if he looked the way that CM Punk looked. He said when Punk was asked about all the young talents, when Punk came in, he did all the media, all the interviews that CM Punk did, talking about all the young stars he wanted to get in the ring with, and he mentioned people like Hobbs and Ricky Starks and Darby Allin. And MJF said every interview, never mentioned my name. He never once mentioned the name MJF. And this is something that obviously stuck with him. He says, the reason is because you don't want none of me. CM Punk does not want any of MJF, which is why he kept my name out of his mouth. He said he would finish Punk quicker than his UFC career. Everybody in the crowd reacted to that. Punk did not look amused. He no-sold that he stood there staring a hole in MJF. He said, Punk can drop pipe bombs all he wants. MJF is here to drop nukes. Punk finally grabbed a mic so that he could respond. And he told MJF, you know, I'm disappointed in you. Said that, I had no idea your name was Maxwell. Honestly, until this moment, I did not know what your first name was. I just assumed that MJF stood for my jealous fan. He said that he was in MJF's head, and that's probably because he has a poster at home on his wall of CM Punk. Punk said that he silenced MJF last week without saying a single word when he walked out to the ring last week. And all he did when MJF put his hand out was he smirked and he walked off. He never said a word. He said he had 7 days to come out here with his best stuff and he just went with the low-hanging fruit. Talking about his UFC career. He's going for the easy jabs. Punk said the reality of the situation was that MJF was just a less famous Miz. Oh my God. A less famous Miz. How many skin grafts is what I want to know. How many skin grafts is MJF going to need after that burn? I say about 4. Over under is it about 4. What a great fucking line. What a fucking line. First of all, I have to say, look, Miz has done a lot in his career. Miz has done a lot in his career. Miz is not my favorite wrestler. I'm not part of the Miz fan club. I will give the Miz his props for all that he has accomplished and for as long as his career has lasted in wrestling. And I will give Miz also props for being a really good talker. Now, we talk about good promos. Miz is a good talker. Right, we all remember the Miz going off on Daniel Bryan on that episode of Talking Smack, which, believe it or not, was 5 years ago now. So Miz has had his moments, but that was a sick burn by CM Punk. And the crowd reacted accordingly. They started chanting Miz at MJF. Because, look, a lot of people have made comparisons between MJF and Miz. If MJF were to go to WWE, right? Well, they already have The Miz. In fact, The Miz used to come out wearing a scarf. MJF comes out wearing a scarf. A lot of similarities between the two. And Miz is a good heel. MJF is a great heel. MJF lives the part. He lives the role. It is him. It is who he is. He is as good at this as anybody has been in a very long time. Back in the days when wrestlers would live their gimmick 24/7, they would go around. Roddy Piper would go around 24/7. He was Hot Rod, and he would sound like a crazy man. Whether he was doing media interviews, personal appearances, whatever it might be, MJF is channeling a wrestler from a bygone era because you don't see very many people who are just on 24/7 the way that this kid is. That's what makes him different than your average heel in wrestling, because you don't find too many people who are like that these days. He commits to it, and he's very good at it. And I would take MJF over The Miz. But calling him, you know, calling him a less famous Miz is quite the insult. So MJF started to talk again. He was interrupted by Chance of Miz. He said, Punk is just nostalgia. And he admitted, he goes, look, I was a fan. At one time, you were the best on the mic and in the ring, but now you say nothing of interest, and you struggle to beat the easiest competition. You've been kissing ass ever since you came to AEW. You come out here, you talk about how much you like being here and how much you like the crowd chanting your name. And, oh, it's, you know, CM Punk, the nice guy. So you've been kissing ass this whole time. He accused Punk of getting soft. He called him PG Punk. And MJF accused Punk of not only getting soft, but he says Punk may as well come out here and preach hustle, loyalty, and respect, which also got a big reaction. And I like that line. I like that line. And that's another thing that we've talked about here on these streams before, is that in AEW's existence, one thing that they have made a habit out of, and they've gotten away from it a little bit recently, which is good, but a lot of people would bring up WWE. They would make references to WWE, their time in WWE, and that's fine if that happens every now and then, but it was happening a lot. And you get to a point where it's like, all right, enough with the WWE. You know, we know they exist, we know they're there, and they've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. But I liked it here in this promo because they, first of all, I thought the burns that they used here were great and they got a great reaction. But I like the comparison of Punk to what Cena was 10 years ago. And I like that because what MJF is saying here, the whole basis of what he's talking about, is that CM Punk has turned into exactly what he hated when he sat down and cut that pipe bomb promo a decade ago. And he ranted on the system and he ranted on The Rock and he ranted on John Cena and people kissing ass. And here we are now all these years later and Punk's older and he's grayer and he's gone soft. And now he has turned into that which he once hated. And I like that. I like him going there. I like that little, you know, that little jab. I think it works. So him mentioning the whole hustle, loyalty, respect thing, I thought was good. He said Punk wouldn't come back for all those years that he was away because he was scared, because he was terrified. He said Punk sat at home for 7 years writing comic books that nobody read, making movies that nobody saw. In the other company, he said he was the underdog, that people wanted to be showcased more, pushed more, more TV time, basically is what he was saying. And he's not sure now. Punk is, that is. He doesn't think Punk is sure that he can hang anymore. Deep down, Punk knows that he's only ever been second best. No matter whether it was the Can't See Me Man or it was the King of Kings, CM Punk has always been second best or second place. Again, a good burn because it's true. Even when CM Punk was the WWE champion for 434 days, until he turned heel, when he turned heel and got Paul Heyman with him, all of a sudden he was getting more main events. But when he won that championship back and started that long run at the end of 2011 into 2012, he barely got any pay-per-view main events. He was second best. He got the Chris Jericho title reign. Chris Jericho was undisputed champion all those years ago, 20 years ago. But he was never really positioned as the top guy. He always felt like he was playing second fiddle, even when he had the gold. CM Punk, it was the same way. John Cena was still in main events. He was wrestling The Rock. John Cena was wrestling John fucking Laurinaitis, with CM Punk playing second fiddle against Daniel Bryan in the mid-card. Even when Punk was the man, he was not, you know, really positioned until much later on as the top guy. Some people would say even later on, he was never really positioned as the top guy. He says in AEW, MJF is that guy. And I'm better than you and you know it. Punk got on the mic again and said, look, there's a little bit of truth in what you're saying. I'm not going to lie. There is a little bit of truth. I was a little scared about whether or not people would remember me. I was a little scared about whether or not people would even care when I came back. I didn't know what to expect. He said, I'm not scared anymore, especially of you. He goes, I was selling out Madison Square Garden when you were marking out for Rosie O'Donnell. He said, MJF had just enrolled himself at a college that his parents could not afford. He said, Max talks too much, just like he used to, but he can't back it up without his own backup. FTR, Sean Spears, Wardlow. You need other people to back you up and do your fighting for you. He said MJF goes on about being the strongest of the four pillars. We talk about these four pillars of AEW, the Young Stars, MJF, Darby Allin, other people like Sammy Guevara, Hangman Page, right? Dante Martin. You can go. There's a whole list of pillars in this company. They have a lot of young talent that can be big stars one day. Go on about the strongest of the four pillars, but you don't even realize that you've already been replaced by Britt Baker. And that got a great reaction as well. A lot of lines in this promo got great reactions and really resonated with the audience. And they're in Chicago. So when you're in a market like Chicago or New York, you know, these things can fall flat. You never really know how the crowd is going to react. But they were into, you know, all of this stuff was resonating with them. He said he's happy to be number two. He's happy to be number two with the Bullet, said Punk. You know, they call Chicago the second city. And they don't call Chicago the second city because there's a better one. They call it the second city because when it burned to the ground, they built another one right on top of it. And Punk said that the only way MJF will ever be number one around here is if everybody waits around long enough for Tony to have a daughter that MJF can marry. He said his first gift to Chicago was free ice cream bars the last time, but his next gift was going to be punching MJF in his needle dick right here and now. MJF started to take off his coat, his watch. He was getting ready to throw down. The people were ready for this, and he bailed out of the ring, and he took his stuff, and he retreated to the back. Again, this guy knows how to play the role of heel. He knows how to get a rise out of people. He knows how to get the right reaction out of them. He is tremendous in his role, and I thought this entire segment was outstanding. And as MJF was talking about Punk and getting all these digs in, and Punk was just standing there silent, I thought, okay, he's giving MJF the shine here. MJF is just verbally crushing this guy. Punk took the mic, came back, he got in the zone, and he showed people that, you know what, there is some of that old CM Punk left. And he started to get more and more into it. He got a couple of zingers in there. These two went back and forth. It was, by the end, it was a draw. But this segment was outstanding. It was 20 minutes. It didn't feel like it. I was surprised when I looked and I saw that it was already 21 after 8. And there hadn't been a match yet. You don't get that very often in AEW. So when you do get a segment like this, and you get two people in the ring like these two, going at it for 20 minutes, I'll allow it. This was outstanding. This was a tremendous segment. And my only concern is that it may have gone too long. And there were so many great lines and little zingers in this promo. They went to so many different places referring to Punk's history in WWE and talking about the pillar. Everything that they covered in this promo felt like this could have been 3 or 4 weeks worth of promos on television. So they took those 20 minutes. And I wonder now, I'm left wondering, is there going to be enough to sustain the next 6-8 weeks of television? Because they should not be jumping right into the first match between these two. In fact, if it were me, I would hold off until the next pay-per-view. And the next pay-per-view is not until the end of February. That's Revolution. I wouldn't do the first match between these two until Revolution. Well, Revolution is still a long ways away. Can they wait that long? I think we're going to get Punk against Wardlow. Maybe even Punk against Sean Spears. You know, it'll be like Jericho, the whole storyline with Chris Jericho, where each week he had to wrestle someone different just to get to MJF. You know, we could be in for something very similar with CM Punk. So they have to be able to drag this on long enough. That's my only concern. I hope they didn't kind of blow their load here in one night and go through all their best material. But outside of that, I have nothing to complain about with this opening segment. It was great. CM Punk against QT Marshall. Nick Comoroto and Aaron Solo were ejected from ringside early in this match. Marshall got control, and Punk came back, clothesline QT to the floor, hit a diving clothesline right before the break, came back. Marshall hit a Liger Bomb for two. And while he was taunting Punk, Punk came back with a high kick, hit the top rope. Randy Savage, elbow drop, not quite as pretty as Randy Savage, but he tries. Hit the Savage elbow, and then the GTS for the win. Now look, I can understand them wanting to give the people in Chicago as much CM Punk as possible because, of course, he's the hometown hero. I get that. We got 20 minutes of him in the opening segment. Did we really need 11 minutes of QT Marshall against CM Punk? I don't think this match needed to go that long. I like what they did later. Bryan Danielson beat Colt Cabana, also Chicago native. He beat Colt Cabana in 5 minutes. That's about as long as this match needed to go. This did not need 11 minutes of QT Marshall going toe-to-toe with CM Punk. Backstage, Tony Schiavone interviewed Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy. Christian said they had momentum. Said that Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy are the new number one contenders for the AEW Tag Team titles. And he said what they have now is confidence. And he said that he would make sure they would win the championships. There's still something about this guy. I don't know. I thought this would happen a few months ago, but I still feel like there's going to be a turn coming. It's probably Christian. I feel like he's going to screw these guys over somehow. Whether, you know, he's planning it as we speak, or whether it's just some kind of miscommunication that leads to a falling out between the two sides, I feel like the end result here is going to be a Christian Cage heel turn. Eddie Kingston was in the back, and as he was sitting at a table looking into the camera, here comes 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. And they apologized for what they said to Kingston last week. And they said, look, we read your article in the Players Tribune online, that great article where Eddie Kingston just talked about his life and his mental health issues and everything. It was a great story, and I mentioned it last week. If you still haven't read it, you need to go find it. It's worth your time. So they talked about the article, and Parker said that he knew Eddie a long time, and look, we're just here to help. You know, we just want to help. Because you obviously couldn't help your friend, John Moxley. When he said that, Kingston lost his shit. And a brawl broke out. Officials came over and had to break it up. These two were going to have a match on Rampage coming up on Friday. We had the Gun Club. Billy Gunn. And Colton Gunn with Austin Gunn, the Ass Boys here, out for their match against Bear Country. I've seen more of the Gun Club in the last week than I think I have in their entire existence in AEW, because I generally don't watch their stuff on Dark. So between the Billy Gunn Darby Allin match on Friday, which got a lot of people stirred up because I wasn't a fan of that match, and you can say that to the AEW diehard. They don't like that very much. Well, too bad. But between that and this, I've seen enough of the Gun Club to last me the rest of the year. So the Gun Club attacked before the bell. Bear Country took control. Bear Boulder hit a big press slam. Went outside to the floor. Gun Club sent Bear Country into the barricades, into the steel steps. Back inside, Colton hit the Colt 45 out of nowhere for the win. This was short, which is good. This match, though, only existed for one reason. The only reason that Gun Club was on this show was for what happened after the match, when the match was over. Because after what happened on Rampage, we knew that the story with the Gun Club and Darby and Sting was not over. So when this was over, we hear Sting's music. And out, or was it Darby? I mean, it was Darby's music, but out came Sting. Sting came out by himself. And I think it was Austin Gunn who goes charging down the ramp, charging down the aisle. He's running towards Sting, and they timed this perfectly. Out from the entrance tunnel, as Austin Gunn is making his way up, here comes Darby Allin like a bat out of hell. This looked fucking great. He came at this guy the way that he does those dives, those topes through the ropes at a million miles an hour. He came out of that tunnel like somebody fucking shot him out of it. And he clobbered Austin Gunn, just jumped right at him, collided with him, knocked him down. Sting and Darby got into the ring, and the Gun Club ran off. I thought that was great. That one spot actually made this entire segment worth it, because the rest of it was just whatever. I didn't really care for it until that spot. And that spot looked so good, it made this entire thing worth it. But I still don't need to see Darby Allin feuding with the Gun Club. That is something I do not need to see. I have no interest in seeing that. It's something, I guess, for Darby to do in the meantime, but not a fan of that. But that spot was great. So this is where they made the formal announcement that the Battle of the Belts is going to be taking place live on TNT January 8th. By then, they're going to be on TBS with Dynamite. This will be their first of what is expected to be four annual live specials on TNT. They didn't mention how long it's going to be. I think it was Meltzer said that right now it's penciled in to be an hour, which seems a little short. I mean, not that I mind. An hour show is an easy watch, but if they're going to have all championship matches, maybe 90 minutes would have been better. We still don't know. Again, right now, we're just going by what Meltzer said. He seems pretty plugged into the AEW folks, so if he says the show is supposed to be an hour, then I assume it's supposed to be an hour. Backstage, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish were in the back, and Adam Cole was not happy. Adam Cole was not happy about what happened last week. Adam Cole was not happy about all the losing. Of course, him and the Bucks, they lost at Full Gear. And all of a sudden, the best friends walk in. Trent is still not there. But we had Chuck, we had Orange Cassidy, we had Wheeler Yuta. They walk into the camera view, and Adam Cole is saying, "You guys aren't best friends. Me and Bobby, we're best friends." And Cole ran them down one by one, suggested that they have a match, and it is going to take place. It's going to be Adam Cole and Bobby Fish against Wheeler Yuta and Orange Cassidy. We go to another segment in the back. Tony Schiavone is there to moderate what is supposed to be a contract signing. He's sitting at a long table. Team Taz is on one side. Taz and Hook and Hobbs and Ricky Starks. On the other side, we have Leo Rush and Dante Martin. Team Taz is hoping to get Dante Martin to sign a contract and join the team. And Taz got up in Leo's face about, you know, looking at the contract. Leo said that, look, anything that has to do with Dante has to do with me. And as he was talking, Dante grabbed the pen and he signed the contract. Much to the chagrin of Leo Rush. What are you doing? Dante, what are you doing? Couldn't believe it. Dante signed the contract, what I assume is the contract. Hopefully we don't find out that, you know, he swapped out a different page and it wasn't an actual contract. But he signed the contract to join Team Taz. And Leo Rush was, he was crestfallen. He couldn't believe it. And Dante left with the members of Team Taz. So two thoughts immediately hit me coming out of this segment. First of all, we are very likely going to get Leo Rush one-on-one against Dante Martin. If I had to venture a guess, probably the Winter is Coming episode of Dynamite on December 15th. So that's a great thing. Leo Rush one-on-one against Dante Martin is going to be fucking great. So that was my first thought as far as the positives of Dante Martin breaking away from Leo Rush is that we're going to get a match between the two of them. But then another thought occurred to me, which is that this could be a setup. Not necessarily a setup where Leo Rush and Dante Martin are in on this together and they're just kind of, they're going to fuck over Team Taz, but it could be a setup. Now, I asked the question a few weeks ago. In fact, I had forgotten his brother's name, and many of you in the chat reminded me because it's been so long since we've seen Dante's brother. And that, of course, being Darius. He's been out for a very long time. He had ACL surgery earlier this year, and he's been gone for a very long time. I don't know if he's at that point now where he should be cleared. Usually it's like an 8 or 9 month recovery. But I can see a story where Dante joined Team Taz, just as it looked like he did. Leo Rush brings Darius back. Darius Martin makes his return to TV. He's with Leo Rush. And they're trying to convince Dante to come home. They're trying to convince Dante to come back to the family, come back to the fold. So Dante can spend some time with Team Taz, but Darius comes back. And now you've got this story where they're trying to get him away from Team Taz. You know, maybe we get a tag match. Leo and Darius against Dante and, you know, Ricky Starks or something like that. So I immediately thought of Darius, and I don't know, again, where he is in his recovery. But if he's ready to come back, I think that may be where this is leading. We have Thunder Rosa against Jamie Hayter. Quarterfinal match in the TBS title tournament. This was great. This was great stuff. Hayter sent Rosa to the floor, but was thrown into the barricade. And as Thunder Rosa was getting back into the ring, she got cut off by stomps by Jamie Hayter. Rosa came back with strikes and sent Hayter into the barricade again, hit a running dropkick and then a suplex on the floor. She went for a crossbody, Hayter caught her, and rammed her back first into the ring post as they went into the commercial break. Rosa countered a superplex attempt, hit a missile dropkick for two, and Hayter hit a backbreaker of her own for two. Fans were popping off for these two. We got dueling chants of let's go Rosa, let's go Hayter. The people were hot for this match. You don't see that very often with women's matches in AEW, but you did tonight. And for good reason, because these two were having a really good match. They were trading forearms in the center of the ring. Rosa escaped a suplex attempt, hit a Russian leg sweep. She locked on the Peruvian necktie submission, but Rebel, who was outside the ring along with Britt Baker, Rebel gets up on the apron to distract Rick Knox. As we've talked about before, I could, you know, shine a fucking flashlight on the floor and that would distract Rick Knox. It don't take much. So while the referee was distracted, Britt Baker climbs into the ring. She breaks up the Peruvian death hold. Or Peruvian necktie, called the Peruvian death hold. She breaks it up. Jamie Hayter has Thunder Rosa's arms hooked, and Britt Baker is going to go to deliver a super kick. As she goes to deliver it, Rosa ducks, and Britt Baker kicks Jamie Hayter right in the face. Rosa then got rid of Britt Baker and Rebel. She took care of them, rolled up Jamie Hayter for the win. This was an excellent match between these two. This was the best match of the entire tournament so far. This is one of the better women's matches all year on AEW television. This division, and again, the crowd was super into it, and you don't see that very often with a lot of these women's matches. This division is getting stronger each week. It has been for a very long time, up until recently, and it's been changing. It had been the Achilles heel of this company. And the pandemic didn't help because they had a lot of talented women, some of the Japanese stars, Riho and other people who were not able to be on the show because of the pandemic and the travel restrictions. So they were without some of those women for a very long time. Serena Deeb had gotten hurt. She was gone for a number of months. Thunder Rosa was only part-time because she was still under contract to the NWA. Well, now they have Serena back. They have Thunder Rosa under contract. They've got Ruby Soho under contract. They've brought in some other people. Jamie Hayter is one of those people who had left, who they were able to bring back. And all of these women together, along with a few others, they're pushing Jade Cargill. She's not there yet, but she'll get there. She'll be a star one day. The tide is changing slowly but surely with the women's division in this company. They have a lot of talented women on that roster. Thunder Rosa and Jamie Hayter are two of them. Thunder Rosa, my favorite. Thunder Rosa's great. These two went out there. They had a great fucking match. I thought this was excellent. And now Rosa moves on to wrestle Jade Cargill in the semifinals. I'm going to stick with my prediction from the podcast this weekend. I'm going with Ruby Soho. I think Ruby Soho, whether it's Jade or whether it's Thunder Rosa in the finals, I think Ruby goes on to become the first TBS champion. Save Thunder Rosa for that inevitable match with Britt Baker and the world title. Alex Marvez was interviewing Chris Jericho in the back. This was the first segment that really fell flat to me. This was the first segment on the show where I was like, eh. That didn't exactly go over too well. Jericho's being interviewed, and 2.0 and Daniel Garcia go walking by after their whole, brawl with Eddie Kingston, right? They're all full of piss and vinegar. They're walking by. Did you see that? And so they interrupt Jericho's promo. And Jericho tells them to go get some nails and boards from the hardware store to protect them from when Eddie Kingston invades their homes and kicks their asses. He told Matt Lee, the loud one, the loud member of 2.0, he told him that he had a square head like SpongeBob. And he paused because he was trying to get the crowd to start chanting square head. And some of them did because they're sheep. Not too many people were chanting square head. The thing with Jericho is he tries too hard to be funny sometimes. This was not one of those times. There are times where Jericho can be funny. Tonight was not one of those nights. The square head thing did not get over. But it sounds like, just based on this segment, it looks like we might be getting a tag team match soon. We might be getting Jericho and Eddie Kingston together as a team against 2.0. First, though, it's going to be Kingston against Daniel Garcia. And then we'll see if my prediction is accurate. Tony Schiavone, Britt Baker, and Rebel were in the back sharing a Friendsgiving dinner. And Britt said that the night started off horribly with Rosa advancing in the tournament, but things were already looking up. Tony Schiavone said, look, I've got some footage to show you. The last time we were in Chicago and we had this casino battle royal, Riho was eliminated, but not really, under the bottom rope in the match, which she was, and we brought that up at the time. Tony Khan has granted Riho a match on Friday against Britt Baker. And if Riho wins, she will earn herself a future AEW Women's Championship match. And Britt Baker flipped out, and she said Schiavone had ruined Friendsgiving, and he would not be invited to Christmas. Bryan Danielson, one-on-one against Colt Cabana, who, like Punk, got a big hometown reaction here in Chicago. Well, you know, if MJF really wanted to get under Punk's skin, he would have brought up Colt Cabana during that promo, but I guess there are just some lines you don't cross. This was what it needed to be. This is what I said earlier. I thought, you know, Punk and QT Marshall didn't need 11 minutes. They should have had a match like this. 4 or 5 minutes at the most. Boom. Done. QT Marshall should not be sharing 11 minutes of ring time with CM Punk. This was what it needed to be. It went about 5 minutes. Bryan put Colt on the top rope. He was setting up for a back suplex. Colt knocked Danielson to the mat, hit a moonsault for a near fall. Colt landed a series of elbows. Bryan, though, dragged him down to the mat, started stomping his head repeatedly before applying the label lock for the tap out. Cabana in here spit out a fake tooth, clearly a fake tooth, when the match was over. And the camera zoomed in on it to get a good shot. It didn't even really look like a tooth. It looked like a little piece of paper that was rolled up, or a chiclet or something. But the idea is that Danielson, he knocked his teeth out. And he's going to do the same thing, I guess, to the members of the Dark Order, the other members, that is, of the Dark Order as well. So after the match, they come back. Tony Schiavone. Tony's everywhere. Tony's everywhere. He's on commentary. He's having Friendsgiving dinner. He's overseeing a contract signing. This fucking guy, he does it all. If anybody deserves a good holiday break, it's Tony Schiavone. He's back in the ring here to interview Bryan Danielson. Danielson takes the mic and he points out, you know, boy, I got a very different reaction here tonight than I did the last time I was in Chicago, because they were booing him tonight. He called the fans fickle, which is what he called them during his last heel run in WWE a couple of years ago. And he pointed out that next week, they're in Atlanta, and the Dark Order happens to have a couple of members who are from Atlanta. So this is the way they're going to do it. Again, I said on the podcast on Sunday, episode 731, what they did is they took what I believe would have been Jon Moxley's storyline, and they gave it to Bryan Danielson, because I think Moxley was going to go win that Eliminator tournament. He had already beaten Preston Vance in the Eliminator, beat the hell out of him, bloodied him up. I don't remember if they were in his hometown that night, Preston Vance's hometown, but he beat him, he took care of him. So he would have been the one beating Colt Cabana in Cabana's hometown this week. He would have been the one in Atlanta next week beating whoever's from Atlanta. I don't know which Dark Order members are from Atlanta. I don't know. Hey, Parasite, we got some love here from New Zealand. What's going on, Parasite? At least we know we got one Parasite over in New Zealand. So whichever members of the Dark Order are from Atlanta, one of them is going to step up and face Danielson next week. And Danielson said whoever wants to volunteer, he'll kick their head in next week. Hangman Adam Page came out, the new AEW World Champion. He came to the ring and offered to defend the title right here and now. Danielson, though, accused Page of being cowardly because he picked a fight with a man who just wrestled the match. He goes, you talk about cowboy shit, more like cowardly shit. And Page still wanted a fight. He goes, look, I'm not leaving until I get a fight. I'll tell you what. I'll give you the first shot. He was going to give Danielson a free shot. Danielson slapped him, and the two of them started brawling. So they brawl, and thankfully, no referees came out to immediately break them up. They let him go, you know, they let him go there for a few seconds. So they're brawling a little bit, and Page goes for the buckshot lariat, and as he goes to slingshot himself in, Danielson escapes out under the bottom rope and flees like any good heel. Now, Danielson did an interview this week, and I don't remember where it was, but he did an interview saying that, look, I'm not a heel. I didn't go heel. I'm just being myself now. Clearly, he's healing it up. We saw that tonight, and he's been great. This is the version of Bryan Danielson I love. The heel American dragon who doesn't give a shit. He's this wrestling snob. Thinks he's better than everybody. Holier than thou. And vicious, too. You know, whether he's stomping you in the face or, you know, stiffing you with the kicks or whatever it might be. This is the version of the American dragon that I miss. So him healing it up like this is fantastic. And I think he makes for a great first opponent for Hangman. When Hangman beats him, it's a credible name opponent for him to beat. Danielson may just go back to doing what he was doing before when this program runs its course. I almost hope he doesn't. I would like to see him kind of stay in this role. But if they want him back to being a babyface, it might just be one and done. It's kind of like Shawn Michaels going heel for the feud with Hulk Hogan. As soon as that was over, he went right back to being babyface Shawn Michaels. I think that might be what we get here with Danielson. But this was fine. This was a good way of putting more heat to get people more excited about seeing Hangman get his hands on Danielson. The two top programs right now in this company, the two main feuds, are Hangman Page and Bryan Danielson, CM Punk and MJF, which only kicked off last week, and Punk didn't even say a word in that segment, right? We're only 2 weeks in to the mere tease of a match between Punk and MJF. These are the two hot top feuds in this company right now, and they have me very excited to see, you know, what they have planned as far as the next 6 weeks of television are concerned. It has me excited to see what the matches are going to look like. What kind of match is Danielson and Hangman going to have? What kind of match is MJF and Punk going to have? I'm into it. I've bought in. I'm excited to see the matches. I'm excited to see where they go. So coming out of Full Gear, I like where they're going with their top. Yeah, I may not be enamored with the Darby and the Gun Club stuff, but as far as the two top matches, they've sold me on them. They've done a very good job so far. Cody Rhodes, Pac, the Lucha Bros, against Malakai Black, Andrade El Idolo, and FTR. Mentioned earlier that Cody was over in Chicago. Boy, do they love Cody in Chicago, man. Cody has so many fans in Chicago. He was so beloved. He came out. People were basically, they were doing the Vince McMahon thing where they bow down to him. There were women in the crowd crying. Remember Benny Hinn, that these events that he would do, where he would bring people up on stage and he would touch their forehead and they would fall backwards. They were doing that with Cody here tonight. No, they weren't. What the fuck am I talking? Of course they weren't. He got booed again. Cody is a heel. He just hasn't figured it out yet in storyline. He's like, what's going on here? What did I do? Especially with the weightlifting belt. Now, when Cody comes out, he gives his weightlifting belt to somebody in the crowd. Now, I didn't even see him give the weightlifting belt. If they showed it on TV, I missed it. But that's usually what he does. As this match is going on, all of a sudden, this giant white weightlifting belt gets thrown into the ring. And everybody pops huge. So they threw the belt back, very much like what we saw at One Night Stand, with John Cena having his t-shirt thrown back to him before his match with Rob Van Dam. And that was great. And this was great too, but look, it's one thing to throw a t-shirt back to the ring at the wrestlers. Throwing a giant weightlifting belt or anything like that is actually a pretty stupid fucking idea. So thankfully nobody got hurt. But it was a cool moment. Cody was completely caught off guard. He had this look on his face like he couldn't believe what he just saw. He started talking to Penta. Penta looked like he was muffling laughter from what had just happened. A lot of homages tonight to John Cena, right? We talked about John Cena in the opening promo. This is a callback to a John Cena moment from many years ago. Later on, the heels were triple teaming Cody in the corner, and the people were losing their minds. You would think CM Punk walked back out to the ring. These people made it very clear here on this show what they thought of CM Punk, or rather what they thought of Cody. Yeah, that's a good point, you know, and that's what I was talking about, Darlene, in the chat. the weightlifting belt looked like it almost hit Aubrey Edwards. So again, it's one thing to throw a t-shirt or something like that, but you know, it's all funny until somebody gets hit in the face with a fucking weightlifting belt. So that was pretty dumb, especially after that dumbass who attacked Seth Rollins the other night. Thought he was fucking Goldberg and speared him to the ground. Death Triangle hit triple buzzsaw kicks and drop kicks on Andrade for a near fall. Rey Fénix hit a springboard double cutter and an escalera into a hurricanrana on Andrade. Tully Blanchard distracted Fénix. That allowed Malakai to take him down with an STO as they headed into the final commercial break of the show. We come back from the break. Fénix took down Cash Wheeler, made the tag to Penta, who went at it for a while with Andrade. Backstabber got two. Pac tagged in. He ran wild on the heels. He hit the Sasuke special out onto all the heels on the floor. Penta hits Made in Japan to Cash Wheeler, but Harwood catches Penta with a pile driver. But watch out for Rey Fénix off the top with a missile dropkick, takes down Harwood. Malakai takes out Rey Fénix. Cody takes out Malakai and gets booed, but then he nails Pac with an accidental superkick, which only endeared him that much more to the fans when Cody accidentally kicked somebody they liked in the face. Andrade had ducked out of the way, hence why he superkicked Pac. He didn't betray Pac. It was an accident. So then, it's just rapid fire, one after another. So now, everybody is down. And with everybody down, Arn Anderson is on one side. He locks eyes with Tully Blanchard on the other. They slowly climb into the ring. And all of a sudden, it's like Thanksgiving Eve 1986 back in the Jim Crockett days. We've got Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard about to throw down. Although back then they were on the same side. They are no longer on the same side. But as it looks like they're about to throw down here, Andrade's manager, Jose, climbs into the ring and takes his jacket off. Arn looks at Tully. Tully looks at Arn. They have the same idea, and they both wallop Jose with a right hand at the same time. So then they turn their attention back to each other. FTR and Tully, though, they have Arn cornered until Rey Fénix comes off the top with a crossbody. He wipes out all three. Hey, Steven Chapa just chimed in with a Thanksgiving Super Chat. $50 Thanksgiving Super Chat. Thank you, Steven Chapa. I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving. Penta hits a Tope Con Hero. And Rey Fénix hits a giant crossbody dive, one right after the other, so they wipe out both members of FTR on the floor. So those four are out of the picture now, okay? The Lucha Bros are down, FTR's down. Malakai, on the other side of the ring, he spits the black mist in Pac's eyes. As Pac was about to hit his big finish, Andrade hits his El Idolo finish, pins Pac to win it for the heels. At this point, the only thing I wrote in my notes is, what happened to Andrade's pants? I'm almost positive when Andrade came out here and started this match, he was wearing fucking pants. By the end here, his pants were gone. So, I must have missed something here. I don't know what the fuck happened to this guy's pants. But I put two exclamation points, two question marks. What happened to Andrade's pants? I don't know. If Charlotte were around, I would ask her. I'm sure she must know. This was wild. This was a wild main event, all action. I thought it was a lot of fun, just a ton of fun to watch. Lots of energy from the crowd, which you always hope to see in your main event. You know, a hot crowd can make a very good main event great. It can make an okay main event very good. It can make a difference. And this was just a lot of fun. And interestingly, Jim Ross, when they did the sign-off at the end of the show, And Jim Ross, you know, he's been going through a lot of shit lately, but he cannot say Bryan Danielson. It doesn't matter how many times he practices, and he even on the air will acknowledge and make fun of himself sometimes for saying, you know, Daniel Bryan. He said Daniel Bryan probably four or five times tonight. Just let him say it at this point. It's just let the guy do whatever he's going to do. He signed off at the end of the show by saying, I'll see you again in the very near future, which I thought was very interesting because he's been going through a lot of shit. He was diagnosed with skin cancer, as many of you may know, on his ankle He had a minor surgery to remove it. He's going to be undergoing, actually, he might already be undergoing radiation treatment. He's got a whole series of radiation treatments, I think about 24 radiation treatments that he has to undergo for the skin cancer. He just had surgery on his back. He posted a pretty gnarly picture on Twitter of two parts of his back sewn up. I think they took more cancerous lesions out of there. I don't know if that was surgery for more cancer or just a biopsy. So this guy has been through the ringer lately, but he has said that he's not planning on taking any time off. And he would still be coming to work based on the way he signed off tonight by saying, "I'll see you again in the very near future." It sounds like maybe Tony Khan said, "Look, take all the time you need. You're going through some shit between the surgeries and the radiation. Take some time off." So I don't know if he is or isn't, but it sounds like maybe he is going to be taking some time off, and as he should. He doesn't need to be there. It's not like the show is going to fall apart if Jim Ross misses a few weeks. Excalibur will be there. Tony Schiavone, you've got Taz. Taz and Excalibur are actually very entertaining together. So if they need a fill-in for Jim Ross, he'll be just fine. Now on Rampage this Friday, it's Eddie Kingston against Daniel Garcia. Britt Baker against Riho. If Riho wins, she gets a future AEW women's title match. And Adam Cole tags with Bobby Fish yet again to take on Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. We will see if Bobby Fish is the one this time to bail on Adam Cole. Twice now, Adam Cole has left Bobby Fish out to dry. I don't know that there will be a third time. It might be Adam Cole left to dry at the end of that match. But we shall see. But that is the Rampage lineup coming up on Friday. Take a look at the Twitter poll here. And there it is. Overwhelmingly positive response so far to tonight's show with over 1,000 votes in. Take a look at that. We've got 92% thumbs up and about 8% thumbs down. So if you want to vote, again, the place to go is at Solomonster on Twitter. And if you head over there, you can follow me. I live tweet during all the pay-per-views and all the major events. Any sort of news about the channel, streams, anything impromptu would always be posted there. So it's a good place to go regardless. So go ahead and vote. And what I'm going to do now is hang with you guys. Let me just bring up your Super Chats here. And we'll have ourselves a little Thanksgiving Eve party. What do you think? Let's have ourselves a little Thanksgiving Eve party. And I hope you guys, as I said before... Oh, look at that. It's all messed up. Let me see if I can fix this. Oh, probably not. Well, that's all right. We'll bring them up here. We got some music here. I'm always prepared. I just won't be able to show them on screen. But as I said earlier, I read all of your Super Chats, so if you have questions or comments about tonight's show, send them on in, and I will read them. Jay William in the chat says, I bet that guy that you spoke of on the podcast saying only positive stuff about AEW is happy. Yeah, there's a clip up on the channel right now. I talked about this the other day. I was floored when I got that tweet because I had said something about the Darby Allin Billy Gunn match on Rampage last Friday. And I was told in no uncertain terms, AEW has earned the right where we should only make positive comments about them. You shouldn't really say anything negative. And I had a little something to say about that. So if you missed that clip, it's up on the channel right now. Talking about the WWE and the AEW stands. You can go check that out. I'm not going to repeat what I said here. You can imagine what I had to say about that. You can imagine. All right. Let's see what you guys are talking about here. Hanging out with you on the holiday. Always a fun time. What's my favorite Ween song? What do you mean Ween? Talking Halloween? I don't know what you're talking about. Loop Cannon, what are you talking about? Joshua Carlos, thank you for the $1.99. Buy or sell on the better promo battle, Punk against Eddie or MJF? I would go MJF. I think tonight's segment wins out. Naif Al-Safar, thank you, sir, for the $4.99. I hope you are doing well. Food Hive, I ain't gonna lie, the Gun Club's theme is fire. The Gun Club's theme, it's weird. Like, it doesn't fit. It's just a weird song for them to come out to. I don't know. It's not a bad song. It just doesn't fit them at all. Roach Killa, Chris Savage dropping $5. That Punk MJF promo was hands down the greatest promo I have ever heard, and I have been a wrestling fan for 30 years. That is high praise from the Roach Killa. Not the Roach, the Roach Killa. Food Hive, I've always thought Dante would make a great heel. The antagonist with the $5 super chat. Do you think Punk and Colt have had any interactions, or are they just steering clear of each other? And why is Cody hated all of a sudden? Happy holidays. With the Cody thing, I think it's just a matter of, people just jumping all over him because he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. And they think he's got a higher opinion of himself than maybe they think he deserves. Maybe they think he thinks he's a bigger star than he really is. I don't think Cody did anything wrong. But I say just embrace it and have fun with it. The reactions he's getting, may as well make the most of it. Now, as far as Punk and Colt, I don't know. I mean, I have not heard anything about them making amends. I had somebody in the chat a moment ago say that Cabana last year said that they did. I don't know that to be the case. But I suppose it's not really any of our business. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury, what's going on? Are you having any Salisbury steak for Thanksgiving tomorrow? It's cool that they are bringing back Battle of the Belts. I went to two of them in Florida when I was a kid. Oh, that is very cool. Yeah, Battle of the Belts is, that's old school. That goes back to the mid-80s probably, right? Unless they did them earlier, mid to late 80s. Quintus Brown, great show tonight. Punk and MJF promo battle was the opening, was the segment, rather, of the year. I scored it a draw, as did I. I thought they were pretty even. Jared Simpson with the $10 super chat. Let me drop this on you now, because while you're doing the stream, I'll be watching Rampage. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. So I assume that means that Jared is in Chicago. And they are taping Rampage as we... Or I guess it would be over by now. Hey, Cody in the chat. Cody Eldridge. I'm doing very well. I hope you are doing well, too. Quintus. First, the nutcase that attacked Seth on Raw. Then tonight, a fan threw back Cody's belt in the ring. What is going on with these fans? Del Fuego, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Save me a plate as I will be working tomorrow. Working on Thanksgiving, that should be against the law. C. Moonsault, what if at WrestleMania 23, the legend killer Randy Orton retired the turtle, Stone Cold Steve Austin, in a classic match? Temjin Zephyr, happy Thanksgiving, MJF and Punk segment of the year. Also, what is your favorite Thanksgiving entree? Oh, my favorite Thanksgiving entree. I don't know about entree, but I have a cousin, and I'll be at cousin's house tomorrow night. Makes a great noodle pudding. It's the only time of year I eat noodle pudding. It is fantastic. I am very much looking forward to stuffing my gut with noodle pudding tomorrow. So it's not really an entree, but I could eat it as an entree. It's fantastic. I love it. Austin Runge, either that belt-throwing spot was another Cena reference and part of a future Cody turn, or he is the least self-aware person on the planet. I don't think that Cody is that self-aware. I think Cody is smarter than that. I think that, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if this is just a slow burn to something where he's just going to fucking snap one day, or if he's just kind of like John Cena, where it's like people pay their money, they can come and cheer and boo whoever they want to, but I'm going to stay true to myself. He could very well be trying to play the role of John Cena here. I think that's a mistake. I think at some point he needs to embrace the hate. Oz and Glorious says AEW for life. Thank you for the $5. Noodle pudding. What's all these questions about noodle pudding in the... First of all, why are you spelling it P-O-O-D-I-N-G? It's P-U-D-D-I-N-G, first of all. You know, I never really asked him for the recipe as far as how he makes it, but it's basically, it looks like a slice of cake, okay, or pie, but it's noodles. They're like melded together. There's some cinnamon in there. I don't know how he makes it. Again, I don't have the recipe. It's not something you buy out of a box or anything. He makes it each year. You people are missing out. That's all I gotta say. All these questions about what is noodle pudding, I feel terrible now for you guys. That you do not enjoy the greatness of noodle pudding. Joseph Brooks, was that opening promo almost on the same level as those John Cena and Rock promos in 2012? Also, do you think that Punk won or MJF won? I think it was a draw. And I think it's very similar to Rock and Cena. Rock and Cena took real life aspects, incorporated them into their promos, references to past gimmicks and stuff, just like Punk and MJF did tonight. I'm not going to say one was better than the other. I mean, they were very, very similar. Jacob Donnelly, what's going on, Jacob? $15 super chat. The women's match felt very Stardom-esque in terms of hard-hitting action, which I dug a lot. Hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving solo. I think some people think the noodle pudding is like, actual pudding, but with noodles in it. That's disgusting. That's not what it is, I promise you. I tell you what, I will take a picture. I see people asking if I could take a picture. I will make a note, and I will take a picture at the dinner table tomorrow. They'll think I'm fucking weird, but I will take a picture, and I will post it. Demi, Solomonster, this episode was a banger. Thank you, Demi, for the $2. That's Demi Cami CJ. Bulu Fatulu. Solomonster, that MJF Punk promo was straight fire. Don Juan says, I'm drunk. Nothing wrong with getting drunk on Thanksgiving Eve. The only problem is, I would say it's better to get drunk on Thanksgiving because at least you have food, a lot of food inside you. So when you drink, the food will absorb, the food will absorb the alcohol like a sponge. Always, you don't want to drink on an empty stomach. You're better to wait until a day where you're going to eat a lot of food and then drink, but don't drive. Jay Baker, fan who caught Cody's belt, wore a Cornette shirt. Oh, is that true? Well, I'm sure they'll blame him, which is ridiculous. Quintus Brown, the way JR sounded when the show was going off the air, that he is going away for a while. He probably is going to go through chemo. He's not having chemo. He's having radiation. Two totally different things. And I made the same observation. I heard that and I said, I bet you... I don't know if he had to be talked into it by Tony Khan, because he wasn't planning on taking time off, but that sounded like a guy who's going away for a while. Rodimus Prime. Hey, Rodimus, man, thank you for the $40. You are awesome, man. Yo, Solomonster, hope all goes well for you tomorrow. That MJF Punk segment was simply epic. Bulu Fatulu, keep or delete CM Punk and Mango Penguin or MJF and Coconut Monkey? Well, Bulu has started the drinking early here on Thanksgiving Eve, I can see. I'm more of a mango over a coconut guy, so I'll go mango. EJ Slemp, The Miz is one of my least favorite wrestlers of all time. I have never liked The Miz, so that burn Punk said tonight gave me the biggest smile. Dry chicken without flavor. Dry chicken and turkey. I stand corrected. Dry chicken and turkey without flavor. I am predicting the Hardy Family office will cost Chris Statlander the match next week against Ruby Soho, just to anger Orange Cassidy, best friends, and the fans. Joseph Brooks, buy, rent, or sell. Which version of Sting did you like more? Crow Sting, Surfer Sting, or Joker Sting? Surfer Sting. Bulu says, MJF and CM Punk is like Breaking Bad and The Shield going head-to-head. All right, I could see that. Amari Johnson, with so many releases and now an alternative option, could WWE put themselves in a situation where they are no longer the dream destination for talent? I think they already have. I think the dream of going to WWE, it's not completely shattered, but it's not as kind of as shiny as it used to be to a lot of people. So already a lot of that kind of bloom is off the rose, and I think people are waking up to the fact that there are alternatives out there, including alternatives where you can make a good living. And maybe WWE is not the best place for some of these free agents to be going. If you look a certain way, you might fare better there than other people would, but yes, I don't think WWE is as desirable a destination for people as it used to be. Mario DeRose, buy or sell Summer of Punk 2011 or Bret Hart WCW? What was a bigger waste? I mean, they were both a very big waste, but I would go Bret Hart WCW. The guy came in. I mean, the guy was the uncrowned WWF champion. And what did they do with him? What did they really do with him? For all the money they paid him, they were paying Bret a lot more money than WWF was paying CM Punk in 2011, I can promise you that. They weren't paying him $3 million a year. Bulu. MJF and CM Punk one-on-one equals Mickey Mouse against Donald Duck. Mike Drop Hooligan says, Solomonster, I'm on drugs. Well, apparently you're not the only one from what I could tell here. Austin Runge, Brian sitting the hell out of the dark, or stiffing the hell out of the Dark Order, makes Dynamite must-see TV for me. Bulu Fatulu again, MJF, the type of guy to buy you dinner for telling him that he's an asshole. The Human Garbage Disposal. Sent a $10 super chat. Love all the content. Listen to every podcast, sometimes more than once at work. CM Punk and MJF are absolute gold. Also, Danielson in his prime. Happy Thanksgiving, Solomonster. Slop King. If MJF beats Punk, he's going to absolutely hold it over Darby's head. I can see this eventually playing back into the long-term Darby and MJF feud. Bulu says, Happy Thanksgiving, Solomonster. I came, I saw, I donated, and now I depart. Bulu. Bulu may already be gone, but Bulu, don't drink too much more. And I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, sir. Thank you for all the love. Joey in the chat says, I'm drinking Coca-Cola. Don't drink that. That's the worst thing you could drink. The only time I drink Coke anymore is if I'm mixing it. You know, whiskey and Coke. That's about it. You want to get fat and diabetic, you drink soda. Don't drink soda. Dry chicken and turkey without flavor. The Chicago Bears should sign Darby Allin. Mic Drop Hooligan, choose or lose. Bugs Bunny on crack or Daffy Duck on meth. More of a challenge to defeat. I would imagine Daffy on meth would be a bit of a challenge. I think we have a few people here tonight who are on crack and meth. Powerful one, The pipe bomb was the very first seed that was planted, which helped lead to AEW. That's ridiculous. How do you figure that? You're really reaching on that one now. Now you are reaching. I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that. Manny, what's the story behind CM Punk and Colt Cabana? Used to be very best friends. Ended up suing each other because of the fallout from the whole Punk podcast that he did with Cabana, the tell-all when he left WWE, and said some things about Dr. Amon, the WWE doctor, and Cabana, who hosted the podcast, got roped into it, and then there were, you know, accusations of Punk is going to help, you know, Cabana cover his legal expenses, and then he didn't, and they had a big falling out. And they sued each other, and it got very nasty. So that's kind of the gist of it. And whether or not they kind of kissed and made up, I have no idea. Stephen Chappa, again, thank you for that 50 bomb earlier. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. Marcus the Entertainer, Alan Angels, and Preston Vance are from Georgia. Well, Preston Vance already got his ass kicked, so I assume it's going to be Danielson then and Alan Angels next week. Marcus the Entertainer. JR said in a recent interview that he had a checkup coming that would determine if he could continue doing the show, so I'm going to guess that maybe that was the case. So you may be right. You may have gotten that news maybe today. But he should definitely take some time off and just focus on his health and get better. Because, you know, the man is 70 years old and cancer is no joke. And he doesn't need to be at work every week if he's undergoing 22, I think it is something like that, 22 radiation treatments. You know, that's serious stuff and it takes a lot out of you. So hopefully he just rests and gets better and then he'll come back. His seat will always be there. If Tony Khan wants him, his seat will always be there, believe me. Dry Chicken Andrade taking a playbook out of Tai Chi and Naito. Titan King, currently, what is your favorite championship belt design? My current championship belt design favorite. You know what? I like the AEW World title. I would have said the IWGP. Okada is still carrying around the IWGP belt, the old one. Instead of carrying around the G1 briefcase, he's carrying the old belt. That's still my favorite design, but if we're not counting that, I might go with the AEW World title. Code Thomas, are you going to the Long Island show? No. Oz and Glorious, happy Thanksgiving to Cody Rhodes, the Solo Monster, Food Hive, Dried Chicken and Turkey, and everyone else not named QT Marshall. Del Fuego, Solo Monster, what is your favorite Thanksgiving memory? My favorite Thanksgiving memory. I've got some wrestling memories, Thanksgiving wrestling memories of just, you know, being with family when my family used to be much bigger than it is. Everybody's kind of died off at this point. But, you know, we used to have these big, Thanksgiving dinners. And this is back when the Survivor Series was still on Thanksgiving night. And then it became Thanksgiving Eve. So I have a lot of fond memories of just sitting around with family with the Survivor Series on, kind of in the background on TV. Yeah, I would say that's pretty much what stands out to me. I don't know that there have been any in recent years, like major Thanksgiving memories that really stand out too much to me. I mean, there was about 3 or 4 years ago, I remember Thanksgiving morning, I stepped on the scale and I was not happy about what I saw on the scale. And that was the first time I started getting into DDP yoga. And I lost a bunch of weight, and I started doing that on a regular basis. And then I fell out of it. Eventually, I got back into it. But anybody who... And I'm not doing it at the moment. I'm taking a break, because once the gym's opened up here in New York, I went back to the gym. But DDP yoga is the real deal. And I'm going to be getting back into it soon with the winter and everything. I'm not going to want to be going out as much. So if you're on the fence about that, and you're looking for a recommendation, DDP Yoga is the shit. If you're looking, it's not even like a weight loss program. If you're just looking to improve your flexibility and just, you know, move around better, if you have nagging injuries that are bothering you in your legs, your knees, your arms, or whatever, DDP Yoga, man, I'm telling you, that stuff works. Johnny A, thank you for the $10 super chat. The Benny Hinn reference was priceless. Wishful thinking, the pipe bomb promo will overtake the Montreal Screwjob in people's memories. Happy Thanksgiving. Food Hive, tomorrow's menu, crab deviled eggs, slow roasted turkey thighs, pineapple glazed ham, cornbread dressing, cabbage, mac and cheese, and lasagna. I just gained 20 pounds just reading that. Holy shit. Well, enjoy, Food Hive. I'm sure it's going to be very tasty. I think we're having turkey, brisket, which is great. My aunt makes brisket, and it's moist. You know, even the turkey, generally when they do it, it's not like dried out or anything like that. So turkey and brisket and the aforementioned noodle pudding, and I'm bringing a pecan pie because I love pie. Oh, I can't wait. I won't be able to put my seatbelt on when I go to make the drive home tomorrow night. Mic drop hooligan, choose or lose pineapple stuffing or stuffing. How could I forget the stuffing? Fuck. I think I might have to skip lunch tomorrow. What do you guys think? Mic drop hooligan, choose or lose pineapple stuffing or strawberry ham. Pineapple stuffing. Domination Warrior, Battle of the Belts being means in my neck of the woods. You misspelled something in there, but I got what you meant. Anyway, he says, it's such good shit. Barclays is going to have to need some acolytes protection after this week. And he says, play Metroid Dread. Yeah, you know, Barclays Center better get their shit together, because that's the second time there's been a fan incident at the Barclays Center where the fan from that part of the arena, that same part of the arena, sprinted and made it, in that case, it was to the ring. On Monday, it was in the aisleway. But that's the second time. The first time, Bret Hart got attacked at the Hall of Fame ceremony a few years ago. And I can remember, I was in Madison Square Garden when that happened. I was up in the rafters for the Ring of Honor New Japan G1 Supercard. And I started getting text messages on my phone. Oh my God, Bret Hart was attacked. I'm like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Apparently missiles are being dropped on me outside. You hear that? So I can remember getting text messages about Bret Hart being attacked, and I was appalled. I was ready to leave the garden and run back to Brooklyn myself and throw down with that fucker. So yeah, the Barclays security staff better get their shit together. Because the next time WWE goes there, maybe they ought to sit that one out. And WWE can bring their own security. Better yet, go bring Atlas security in. Atlas will know what to do if somebody tries to pull a stunt like that. Chris Manson, CM Punk actually looks great with gray in his beard. Date my daughter, he says. Well, he is straight edge. So I guess if you're a father, right, that could be something that you look for, I suppose. Let me turn the music off here for a little bit. Mic drop hooligan. Again, thank you for the $5 earlier. He says, I am on drugs. That's good to know. Quintus Brown, yay or nay, banana pudding. I don't think I've ever had banana pudding, so I can't really say one way or the other. Shiftmo, perfect segment with Punk and MJF. Happy Thanksgiving. Steve Heredia, this stream is brought to you by Noodle Pudding, Solomaster's favorite entree. Hello, everyone in the chat. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, Annette, have a good night and happy Thanksgiving. I see Annette is heading out for the night. EJ, is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles your favorite Thanksgiving movie? And what is your favorite John Candy movie? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is actually one of my favorite Halloween. One of my favorite Thanksgiving movies. Yeah, maybe it is. I can't think of another one off the top of my head. John Candy movie, my favorite John Candy movie. That's up there. I think if I had to pick one, honestly, I'm an Uncle Buck guy. So Uncle Buck might be my number one. He did a movie. It was kind of dumb, but I actually enjoyed it. And it doesn't get talked about like his other movies do. But there's a movie he did called, I think it's Who's Harry Crumb? And I enjoyed that. And growing up as a kid, I loved watching Spaceballs. In fact, I saw Spaceballs before I ever saw any part of Star Wars. So when I saw that, I didn't have that frame of reference to the Star Wars movies. I at first, I thought Star Wars was a copy of Spaceballs. The first time I ever even saw, you know, C-3PO and the gold guy and whatever the gold fucking thing is called. So if you watch Spaceballs, you know, obviously it kind of plays off Star Wars. There's a scene in Spaceballs that plays off of Alien, with the alien that comes out and starts dancing, you know, hello, my baby, hello, my honey. I didn't see Alien at that point. Like, I saw Spaceballs before I saw any of that stuff. So those are some of my favorite John Candy movies. Uncle Buck and Spaceballs for me. Boots. Is With My Baby Tonight a good or great song? It's a good song. I like it. I like With My Baby Tonight. Mic drop. Eat turkey dinner with the sound guy from Police Academy or Bobcat Goldthwait. It's Goldthwait, not Goldthwait. Probably Bobcat, because the other guy fucking annoys me. And he says, choose or lose. Go fishing with Seth Rogen or fly airplanes with Lars Buttermelter. Who the hell is Lars Buttermelter? What's with these dumb questions? Thank you, though, mic drop. Marcus the Entertainer. Anna Jay is also from Georgia. Also, Silver and Reynolds are from New York, which AEW is at the following week. When did Danielson beat Vance? I thought that was Mox. It was Mox. That's my point. I think it was the Mox story that they gave to Danielson. So, technically, Vance was already beaten. He wasn't beaten by Danielson, but he was beaten by Mox, and Danielson sort of took the baton and picked up the storyline. That's what I think, anyway. Jackalope Music, Punk Against MJF segment makes me want to get back into watching battle rap. Watching two people eviscerate each other on the mic brings a smile to my face. Dry Chicken, what's your favorite part of the turkey to eat? I'm a drumstick guy. So, or turkey leg. I'm a turkey leg guy. So I'm like one of the Samoans on WWF television back in the 80s. You give me a turkey leg and I'll just stand there and just eat it like a monster. I'll devour it. I'm a leg guy. Plus Ultra Adrian missed the show tonight. I just wanted to say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and best wishes to Jim Ross. I concur. Jason Case, who would you rather have in AEW? Prime AJ Styles or Prime Kurt Angle? Prime Kurt Angle. Kurt was just a machine. AJ Styles, very special talent. AEW would be blessed to have AJ in his prime in their company. But I feel like we have a lot of people on the AEW roster who wrestle that style who are similar to a young AJ Styles. And but they don't have anybody like a Kurt Angle. And he could go with anybody. Chris Manson, would you ever do Solo Monster vlogs? Probably not. I don't think anybody's really all that interested. I don't think that there's enough interesting vlog content to sustain Solo Monster vlogs. I've got other ideas in store. Solo Monster vlogs right now are not one of them. Boots. Hey, ALDX Dirty just subscribed. Welcome to the channel. Hit that like button, by the way. I haven't mentioned that in a while. It does help boost the stream when you do. So if you want to help out the video, you want to help out the stream, give it a boost. Give it a boost for our buddy Boots. Hit that thumbs up. But Boots says, did you have a subscription to WWF Raw magazine? If so, for the January 1998 issue, which cover did you receive, Sunny or Sable? I got Sunny, and I still have it. I have all my WWF magazines. I started my WWF magazine subscription. The very first magazine I ever purchased that I ever got was in my subscription, and it was the February 1992 issue with Ric Flair on the cover sitting in the director chair, and that was the first magazine that I got. That's the one I had him sign many years ago when he was at Caroline's on Broadway in New York. So I had that autographed, and it's framed somewhere. I kept my subscription from February of 92 pretty much up until, I mean, I'm going to say, I don't know, it was sometime in the early 2000s, and then I stopped. It was after the name change. And I kept each and every single one of those magazines. So I have my collection. You know, they're a little bent the way they're sitting. And the shelf that they're on, it's like, it's almost like a U shape. So they're not all in pristine condition, but I keep them in good condition. And, you know, it's just fun every now and then to go and pop back into the old magazines and see what was being talked about at the time. But yeah, the Raw magazine, there's, they have these pictorials with Sonny and with Marlena. Yeah, so I have all that stuff. Still got it. Food Hive, there's a 33 and a third chance of Solemn Monster watching Joker. At this point, it might be a little less than that. Hey, Marshall Leonard, thank you for the sub. He said, I subscribe to this channel. Well, thank you, Marshall. Dry chicken and turkey. New Japan against Pro Wrestling Noah on night 3 at Wrestle Kingdom 16. Good idea or bad? I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great attraction for a third night of Wrestle Kingdom, which is a few days after January 4th and 5th. This is on January 8th. I think it's exciting if you're a fan of either promotion. I think it only benefits everybody if they are working together. I don't see any downside to the two companies working together. So I think it's a great thing. Ollie, I'll hit me. Happy Thanksgiving, Solemn Monster. After Hangman beat Danielson, what would you think of Bryan against Darby at Revolution? Love it. Heel Danielson against Darby Allin? I love it. I love the idea. I want to see that match. The Human Garbage Disposal. Tomorrow will be quiet without my kids. The stream is making my night. Thanks for what you do. Be safe. Well, thank you. I'm glad that we can all kind of hang out and keep you company tonight. Jay in the chat, I'm sorry to hear that. He's had a shitty time without his grandmother, but happy Thanksgiving to you. Or Jalen, yeah, that's right, Jalen236. Show some love for Jalen. Andrew Jorlog, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you all, thank you for all of your content and commitment to your craft. Andrew, you are one of the great supporters of my show, and I thank you for all your support. Food Hive, what are the odds that AEW is in the hometowns of each Dark Order member the next few weeks? Storytelling and luck at its finest. Well, that can't be true, though, because I've had people tell me that AEW doesn't do stories. There's no storytelling in AEW. It's just random matches. So what you just said there can't possibly be true. I mean, are you telling me these people are wrong? Are you telling me these people are brain damaged? No, I don't believe it. Mic drop hooligan, choose or lose, exercise with Richard Simmons or run laps with Usain Bolt. I think I can, I could probably lick that Usain Bolt guy on the track. I think I could give him a run for his money. See what I did there? I'll say run laps with Usain Bolt. And with that, I believe we are now caught up on your super chats. Some of those super chats were something else. But you entertain me. I entertain you. You entertain me. That's how this works. Juan Ocampo says, happy Thanksgiving. Thankful for your show every Sunday. Solo, camarato, agogo. H-Dub, been a channel member for 3 months. We do have channel memberships open. That's, I always, you know, I need to mention that more often. Happy Thanksgiving, Solid Monster, to you and your family. Be there or wherever they may be. Another listener from New Zealand since 2010. I've gotten emails from a number of listeners in New Zealand as well, so it's nice to have listeners from that part of the world. Food Hive, Andrade versus Andrade 2 for WrestleMania. Are we talking about the segment that we're about to do here? We're about to do a little Be the Booker, some Be the Booker action here. I figure we'll start with the ladies this week. We'll do a little bit of reverse order. Usually we start with the men. Hey, Don Juan, you too, sir. Stay sexy, you sexy beast. We'll start with the ladies. This, for those new viewers, it's a segment where we randomly book a couple of main events for WrestleMania, try to do a good job, better than what WWE even would do. So let's give it a shot here on Thanksgiving Eve. Be the Booker edition, Thanksgiving Eve style. We have got Natalya. Natalya, who was in the Survivor Series women's match this past weekend. She's been with WWE for what feels like decades at this point. What do you think about Natalya in the WrestleMania main event? Who will her opponent be? Natalya against Jillian Hall. Yeah, I don't think so. Well, let's hope that we have better luck with the men. Because that one was a fail. So over on the men's side, we have got... Oh, we're off to a great start here. We are off to a great start here. Brett the Hitman Hart. A Jared M. with the Christian Cage $30 super chat. Christian, look at that. He's looking. He's looking. He's looking for something. What is that? Oh, I see a leak in the roof. He says, just got in and saw the promo. Simply amazing. Jared, happy Thanksgiving, sir. Let's see who Bret Hart will be facing in the WrestleMania main event. This is going to be very interesting. It will be Bret one-on-one. Oh, for fuck's sake. Bret Hart against Fandango in the main event of WrestleMania. It pains me to do this. It really does. It really does pain me to do this. There's just no way that I could ever approve of such a main event of WrestleMania. I don't care. I don't care who the opponent is. Standing on the other side of the ring. Oh, well. Well. You know, and I had a good feeling about that one, too. I said, man, Brett against almost anybody. I mean, that's got to be a win. And then I land on that. That is not what I was hoping for on Thanksgiving. That's right, Frost. That's right. The Hitman doesn't dance. None of this Breezango shit either. Oh, me. Well, we got a few more super chats here that came in. Biblical Adrian. Any chances of AEW bringing Joey Styles or Mauro Ranallo? You'd have to ask Tony Khan about Mauro. Joey Styles, I don't see. I'm going to say no on Joey Styles. Mauro, maybe I could see for maybe special events one day. They strike some kind of a deal. Yeah, I can see that. Impact struck a deal. They brought in Mauro for, I think, one or two shows. So who's to say that AEW won't do the same thing? But Styles, no, I don't see that. Jared again, thank you for that $30 drop. Mic drop hooligan, choose or lose, make snow angels with David Lee Roth or carve pumpkins with Gene Simmons. I think carving pumpkins with Gene Simmons would be pretty cool, actually. That'd probably be pretty badass. And Mic drop says, better promo guy, Chewbacca or King Kong? Dr. NXT Scorpio, Brett will carry him to a three-star classic at best. He will, but that's, I can't sanction that as a WrestleMania main event in good conscience. I just can't bring myself to do it. That's right, Don Juan says Brett against Solomonster would be a better match. I tell you what, I would do my best to make it as entertaining as possible. I would sell for all of his moves. I would make sure I throw him chest first into the top turnbuckle. We would put on a hell of a show. Morrow called the Kenny Omega Rich Swann title match back in April. That's right. And he did a good job with it, too. So I think that there is a decent chance at some point we hear his voice on an AEW show. I think that Tony Khan is very loyal to Jim Ross and does not want to do anything where he kind of makes JR feel like his spot is in any kind of jeopardy or is being taken over by somebody else. So I think if Jim Ross were at some point to step away and they were looking for that big kind of main event play-by-play voice, I think they might work something out where even if just for a big match, you could see Mauro Ranallo making a special appearance in AEW. Dry chicken, golden egg or golden ticket? Well, definitely not golden egg. You can pretty much put anything on the other side there. You can put golden ticket, golden gun, golden shat. Well, not golden shower, but you. Don't get me started on the golden egg thing from Monday. I'll have enough to say about that on the podcast this weekend. I'll leave that as a tease. You guys will have something to look forward to on episode 732 on Sunday. We are going to be live, by the way, on Friday night. I will be here for the Rampage review. I don't know if I'm going to combine Rampage and SmackDown or just do Rampage. Probably just Rampage, but we'll see. Have I ever done ring announcing? No. I've done commentary for House of Glory. I have not done ring announcing, though. Speaking of which, I'm glad you brought that up. For those who are unaware, December 11th, that's Saturday, December 11th, House of Glory, For the Glory, at the NYC Arena. Come on by. General admission tickets are open because the first three rows are already sold out. Or you can watch live on Fight TV. I'll be back on commentary again. Big double main event that night. Malakai Black coming to House of Glory, facing the Amazing Red, and Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy, one-on-one against Low Key for the House of Glory Crown Jewel Championship. That's going to be a lot of fun to call. Don Juan says, what happened to Paul Heyman in the Super Chats? Well, you see, Hanukkah is coming up, and so I'm sure Paul Heyman is getting ready for the great festival of joy. He's buying his dreidels. He's getting ready his chocolate Hanukkah gelt, buying gifts for all of his many children. This is his favorite time of year, so we'll leave Paul Heyman alone. I'm sure he will return here to the streams at some point. Beowulf says December 11th is Ring of Honor final battle. Well, it's House of Glory too, so you know what to do. I trust that you'll make the right choice. Nier just dropped a super chat. Got my results from surgery back. Turns out I have Hodgkin's lymphoma. Holy shit. But you know I will kick its ass. Much love. From Israel. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. That sucks, Nier, but That's the right attitude to have. You're gonna, of course, you're gonna kick its ass. Of course, you're gonna kick its ass. But I wasn't expecting that announcement, so I'm very sorry to hear that. I've been hearing too much stuff lately about people I know, friends who are having a lot of really serious health issues. You know, again, shout out to Jesse Davin on Twitter. She's still having a real rough time in the hospital. She had I guess she talked about it, you know, her whole situation with the colon being removed, and now she's having complications, and I hope she's doing okay and hanging in there, but she's having a tough time. I've had another old friend who was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and these are young people. These are not, like, old people. So it sucks. But Nir, I hope everything works out well. You got a lot of friends here in the chat. And stay strong, my friend. Corey Delcor, thank you for the $1.99. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, brother. Mike Drop Hooligan with the 5. Play cards with Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball 04 or sing songs with Michael Cera from Superbad in 07. I love Superbad. Superbad's a favorite of mine. I'll go with Michael Cera. I remember the day I went to the... I actually remember the day that I saw Superbad. And laughing hysterically with the rest of the theater at some of the jokes. That was back when Jonah Hill was a lot bigger, physically bigger than he is today. Hey, Loose Cannon, look who's in the chat. Loose Cannon Lopez. Happy Thanksgiving, Solo Monster. Who would you bring over for dinner? Danielle Harris or Katrina? I'm hardcore, so I'd bring them both. I got two arms, one on each arm. How do you like that? Oh, Don, are you a fellow Libra? I did not know that. I did not know that. Marcus. I see it. I see your super chat. Marcus the Entertainer dropped a $10 super chat. Manami Toyota was rated number 1 on a list of greatest female wrestlers of all time. I watched a few matches and she is incredible. Why did WWE not bring her in like Bull Nakano? By the way, Bull looks fantastic today. I think Bull went through some... Was it Bull who went through some issues with... she had a really bad alcohol problem? Was it Bull Nakano? Because I saw pictures recently. I think it was Bull Nakano. And she's doing well. Manami Toyota is incredible. And I don't know what her contract situation was at the time. Because... You know, that period where WWF was bringing in women from Japan was a very limited window. We're really only talking about a couple of years. And then they completely abandoned their women's division. So I don't know if it was a case where she was just all tied up in Japan with commitments to, you know, other promotions, or if she just realized that WWF really wasn't serious about pushing the women and didn't feel like traveling and relocating to the United States. I don't know where her head was at, but you know what? Thank God she didn't go to WWF, because there's no way that she would have been utilized to her full potential. Manami Toyota, if you go on YouTube and watch some of her old matches, she really is amazing. And the people who say that she's the greatest female wrestler of all time, it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue with her not being number one. Dry chicken and turkey. Arn Anderson should steal the golden egg and make a golden Glock. AA7. William. Or not William. It's Willie Mantic. I stand corrected. Willie Mantic 80. Luis Hercules Hernandez is back. What's going on? I love all these... All the members of my little posse here are back here in the live chat. Mike Drop Hooligan, you missed Marcus. I just got him. See, I like that. I like how everybody watches out for each other here in the chat. But yes, I did catch Marcus's super chat. Toyota would be wasted by WWF back then, says Joey. Toyota would be wasted in WWF today, let alone 25 years ago. Case in point, Io Shirai. They abandoned their men's light heavyweight division, too. Ultimo Dragon was the WWF light heavyweight champion and WCW cruiserweight champion. Yeah, they give up very quickly on some of that stuff. Remember they had a minis division on SmackDown in like 2006 with Super Porky and some of the other guys? And that didn't last very long either. EJ has an interesting take on things. MJF is a pro wrestler. Miz is a sports entertainer. Miz is a product of the WWE system. And so within that system, Miz is perfect. He works very well for what they expect and what they look for. He's a perfect little soldier. And he puts in the work. That's why I don't want to demean the Miz. The guy, he does a lot for that company. In terms of not just the work on television that he does, but in terms of public relations and in terms of the movies and going on shows like Dancing with the Stars and all that kind of stuff. You know, Miz is someone who is very valuable to that company. I think in some ways, in their mind, he's kind of a useful idiot. He does whatever's asked of him, and no matter how stupid it might be in terms of television angles and stuff, he's not going to fight back, he's not going to argue, he's not going to rock the boat, he's not going to cause problems, he's not going to get legal problems, he's not going to be caught with a needle in his arm. You know, I mean, he's the perfect little soldier in that company. And the, you know, MJF is very much like an old school wrestling heel. I think it's not an inaccurate comparison to make. Food Hive, have a great Thanksgiving, man. Cook up a good one. Send me some food. I'll give you a P.O. box. I'll let you send some food over. Loop Cannon says, I voted for Miz in Dancing with the Stars. So did I. I voted for Miz so that I wouldn't have to see him back on Raw anytime soon. Allie, Al Hit Me. Miss AEW show, but wouldn't miss your live stream. Oh, thank you. Well, I will advise you to go back and watch the show. It was a lot of fun. Watch that first 20 minutes. Trust me. Somebody told me they put the whole segment, I think, on their YouTube channel, so... Somebody check on that and see if that's true. You might be able to get the entire MJF Punk promo segment on their YouTube channel right now. Joe in the chat says, just got home from the show. How did the belt throw come off on TV? Oh, it came off. It looked like it almost hit Aubrey, though, which was pretty stupid. But it got a big pop from the live crowd when the belt hit the ring. Juan says, if MJF can get someone like Maurice, then he would be a Miz. Miz definitely overachieved on that one. Rob Solomonster, will you be going to the UBS Arena? I will not be there. I will not be there. But they have all the signs up. I was on the Cross Island Parkway the other day, and they have all the signs for the new UBS Arena. Yeah, I went right past the exit where the arena is. I haven't been on the Cross Island in a while, so I didn't know they had all the signage up for it already, but I guess the arena is open, so it kind of makes sense. Radical Velocity, I'm here. I think I am late to the stream. No, we're just getting started. Pull up a chair. We're just getting started. I haven't even gotten to Dynamite yet. Yeah, Steve Mello says CM Punk against MJF promo is indeed on the AEW YouTube channel. So if you missed it, when you're done here, go over there and check it out. It's one of the best segments all year. Would I have predicted this from The Miz in 2006? As far as what? All of his success? No. No, I would have thought he would have been gone. Long gone by now. You know, he's really overachieved in his career. Stuck around a lot longer than a lot of other people who are every bit as talented in the ring, but it's all the other things, not just the ring stuff, that Miz, I think, has done for the company that makes him so valuable and you know, why they appreciate him. No, I haven't been going to the bigger shows. It's a combination of things, honestly. You know, at some point I will make it out for some of these, you know, bigger shows. I don't know where, I don't know when. You know, the House of Glory shows are the first real shows I've been back to since that started up again. So I'm sure slowly but surely I'll start to get out there more. But I find, you know, when it comes to a lot of these shows, it's just better to be here doing the live stream. Otherwise, I miss the stream. And, you know, I mean, this is... I have a lot of jobs. I have a lot of work that I do. But, you know, the streams are also part of a big part of the channel and a big part of the business that we do here on this channel. And if I miss a big stream, you know, it also takes income away from me. So I have to weigh, like, you know, in a way, it kind of sucks. But it's like, well, you know, sometimes you have to make the decision that's going to be make the most sense. So sometimes it's just a lot easier to save my money on getting there and hang out here with you guys and review the show live. I'm sure I'll make it back out at some point. Marcus says, Cody started it by tossing his belt into the crowd. True. I see. So sometimes Cody will hand his belt to somebody like a kid in the front row. I did not see who he gave the belt to. So if he tossed the belt into the crowd, then I guess what's good for the goose, right? Human garbage. Thank you. I just wanted to say that. Human garbage in the chat. Thank you for saying that. EJ, remember when Punk called Cena the Yankees? What's funny is that the last decade, the Red Sox have become the new evil empire. And I'm predicting MJF will tell Punk that he has become a St. Louis Cardinal. Let's see here. Willmantic 80. Willmantic is a town next to Storr, Connecticut, where University of UConn is. And I remember you said an Ultimate Warrior story took place at UConn. That was covered in his A&E special. The infamous Ultimate Warrior speech at UConn, where he talked about various subjects and said things that I will not repeat here, but it got him a lot of heat. He got unhinged during the UConn appearance. I think he was invited by the Young Republicans, and it just completely went off the rails. I saw the Ultimate Warrior when he came to my college. I went to Hofstra on Long Island, so... When I found out that the Ultimate Warrior was coming to campus, I made sure I went to the event. I didn't know what he was even coming to talk about. I just said, oh my God, the Ultimate Warrior is coming. And he had been out of wrestling for a number of years at that point. I said, I got to go see the Ultimate Warrior and hear what he's up to. I thought, you know, maybe he's going to give a speech about his life or something. And he starts going off on the you know, he's asking about the great books of the Western world. And the first sign of things going off the rails was he asked for a show of hands for the people who were in the auditorium. And it wasn't like totally packed in the auditorium, but it was a decent crowd. And he asked us, he goes, how many of you have read the great books of the Western world? And like two hands went up and he lost his shit and he started going off on us and society and, you know, kids today and blah, blah, blah. You know, the old man yells at the cloud meme. And so he goes on and on and on, and it's just a bunch of fucking bullshit. And so he gets to the end, and now it's the Q&A portion. That's when things got really fun. The only thing missing was popcorn. So the students would line up along the staircases on either side and come up to a microphone that was positioned. And they would ask him whatever questions they wanted to ask. And so, of course, people asked him about doing steroids, and he lost his mind on that. And, why don't you come down here? I'll put you through a table. Yeah, because that's not roid rage or anything. He was going off on everybody. But then at the very end, when we all went up to the front, people wanted to take pictures and get autographs and he was as nice as could be. So there's this photo of me with the Ultimate Warrior, shaking hands with the Ultimate Warrior, and he's wearing a suit, and it looks like he's trying to sell me a used car. Big cheesy smile on his face. I'm just shell-shocked by what I have just witnessed. And anyway, that's my Ultimate Warrior story. Ollie says, miss AEW because it is 8 a.m. Just woke up 1 hour ago. Food Hive, can you tell the story of Macho Man telling the guy not to bring his wife in the wrestling business? I barely remember the story. It's not really a story. Lance Storm in WCW was told, as he tells it, I'm trying to remember if Lance was either told that he should bring his wife in for an angle, or maybe he was thinking about bringing his wife on the road or something. I forgot exactly what, but it was Lance Storm. And he says the best advice that Randy Savage ever gave him was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something to the effect of, I brought my wife with me on the road, or I brought my wife into the business. I ain't got no wife no more. And that was all he had to hear. And he thought better of bringing his wife in. So, wise words to live by. Hey, Rishi, thank you for the sub. Just subscribe to the channel. All right, I think we are all caught up on your messages. Would I say that Alexa Bliss is an overachiever? Yeah, I mean, she accomplished more than I thought she would when I first saw her in NXT. Remember when she used to come out as the smiling babyface and her theme music would be like glitter, I don't know, glitter something, whatever the fuck it was. Glitter, sparkle, something or other. Would I have expected that Alexa Bliss to become what she became with the whole, like, Fiend thing and win multiple women's championships and be the first woman to win the championship on Raw and SmackDown? No. No, I didn't expect that at all. So, yeah, I think she overachieved. Sam in the chat says, J Sports, which is one of Japan's biggest sports networks, announced they will discontinue Raw and SmackDown from this point forward. They should have discontinued Raw a long time ago. I'm surprised it took them this long. Well, I'm sure WWE will land somewhere. They always land somewhere. They have a lot of content that they produce. There's always a network looking for content. Which is why, no matter how bad their television might get, next time their contract comes due, they're going to make even more money than they did on the last contract. And they know that, which is why they have no incentive to change. Okay, so Chris says it was glitter, glitz, sparkle, bliss. That's okay. That's what it was. Glitter, glitz, sparkle, bliss. Yes. I remember those days in NXT of glitter, glitz, sparkle, bliss. And now she's puking black shit up from her mouth. And she's talking to dolls. She has come quite a long way. Mic drop. The hype of MK2 coming out in 94 was legendary. It was. I remember that. Mortal Kombat was the shit. And I remember being at the arcade, everybody playing against each other, doing tournaments against each other, lit cigarettes. They're leaving the lit cigarette butts on top of the controls for the arcade in the bowling alley. Hey, Derek Fleming in the chat. He's a new follower. He wants to know what's up. Everybody let Derek know what's up before we get out of here. Because we're about to end this stream. Let Derek know what's up. And Derek, happy Thanksgiving. EJ Slemp, last Super Chat. We all know you love Seinfeld, but were you a fan of Friends, Frasier, or Cheers? Not a fan. I never watched Friends. I saw a little bit of Frasier. Cheers, I used to watch off and on when I was younger. Norm is my spirit animal. But not a huge fan of any of those three, but of the three, I would go with Cheers. Hey, Bad Guy Jack, thank you for the kind words. All right, guys, look. I want you to have a very happy Thanksgiving. I want you guys to know that I am thankful that you hang out with me each and every Wednesday and Friday. I'm going to be back Friday night after Rampage. And that will be the final live stream in the month of November. We are on track, by the way, for the month of November to be our biggest month ever. I thought September was going to go down as our biggest month ever. Well, we're about to top that. And November is going to be our biggest month ever. So that's all because of you guys and your support. Keep liking the videos, because when you do hit the thumbs up, it does help kind of signal boost these videos. And also, subscribe to the channel. Make sure notifications are on. Make sure the bell is on. So that way you get alerts when I go live, when I post new content. Otherwise, you may not be made aware of it. If you want to become a channel member, there is additional bonus content for our channel members and emojis. You've probably seen some already in the chat. You can hit the join button down below at any time. It won't do anything. It'll just bring up some information so you can read about what's offered, and then you can choose whether or not you want to become a channel member. So however you are supporting this channel, I want to thank you for making November our best month ever. And I hope you guys eat a lot of turkey tomorrow. I know I will. And I will be back with you, of course, next Wednesday. That will be the very first Dynamite of December, right? December 1st, I believe, is next Wednesday. So I will see you then. Of course, episode 732 this Sunday. Be well. Stay safe. I'll give you one last view of the Twitter poll, at Solomonster. You can vote. Look at that. Look how lopsided. I'm surprised that poll doesn't fall off the screen. Holy shit. Go vote. At Solomonster. And I will see you guys on Friday night for the Rampage stream. Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble.